looking for an apartment sucks wherever you live. People in New York will say, oh, it's so hard to find an apartment here. It's hard to find an apartment anywhere. It stinks. You have your mandatories. You have the things that you won't compromise on. You have the things that you don't care about. Like, let's say, oh, dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I can't live without a dishwasher. I don't care if I don't have a washer and dryer. Some people feel the exact opposite. Some people don't need any amenities. Some people need an elevator. Some people don't.
That's so beautiful. We all need different things. And that's why Apartments.com has an app where you can literally use it to tell it what you need and what you don't need. And it tells you, oh, apartments. Here's some.
So instead of looking through every single rental listing you possibly can in the neighborhoods you want, you set and forget, like in that old rotisserie grill ad, you set and forget what you want, and Apartments.com will let you know when an apartment that matches what you want appears on the market.
From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tools let you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking are listed. So you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alerts mean you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time doing you.
Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
You will dream it.
Famous. Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is a screenshot from Dermoi. Forgive us. It's a screenshot from Dermoi. It's a text that says, Anon, please. Sat next to Sean and Camilla on a flight from JFK to LAX. She brought flowers as one of her carry-on items. They made out. He climbed on top of her. And he also asked her if she'd like to watch Marie Antoinette. She said no.
Incredible. The detail work, yes. Here on this lie.
On this lie, sure. I don't know that I believe it, but what I think is really funny is that every detail, the flowers, the making out with him climbing on top of her, and her saying no to Marie Antoinette are like equally, I can't like rank.
No, I think the details are
they're
too
all funny.
Specific and too rich to be fake in this specific instance, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's almost too good. I mean, this broke our rule of not really talking about Dermoi stuff for various reasons, but I will
or
say
even thems.
When a Dermoi screenshot reaches me, because I don't follow it myself and I don't really like pay attention as much, but when it reaches us, then it's like, it's a good one, you know?
Multiple people sent it to us or tweeted it at us and said, you have to see this. And they were right, we had to see this.
Never forget, saw Biden in D.C. Anon, please. My favorite Dermoi submission. Saw Biden in D.C. Anon, please. Yeah, hon, he's there. He lives there.
I mean, sitting next to Sean and Camilla must... I mean,
chaos.
You better get your flight for free. Please. I feel like you could make a pretty decent complaint to, like, the JetBlue agent when you called them. And it's like, I have a complaint. If you did it politely over the phone, the moment it came out that you sat next to Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello, I think they'd be like, oh, honey, we'll give you a credit. I'm so sorry.
The other thing that, like, this makes me think, too, is, like, if somebody sat next to me on a plane and then, like, reported back what I did, it would be equally bad. Like, it would just, it would be, watched 15 minutes of New
York. What would you do? You're the best person to sit next to on a plane because you don't go anywhere. You sit in the window, you lean against the window, you like
I'm
watch
just saying
something,
if they
you
were
don't
like,
scuffle around.
You know, I just feel like that's being on a plane, like you exhibit a lot of like very private behavior.
Your worst behavior.
In a public place, you know, like put her seat back too far or like, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know what I would do, but I'm sure it would be something worth, if I was someone worth talking about, it'd be something worth reporting because it is a place where you like display private behaviors in a public space. In a public space.
Anon, please. Sat next to Bobby and Lindsay on a flight from JFK to LAX. Lindsay leaned against the window and watched Love Island the whole time. I'm not sure how. Bobby got up to go to the bathroom 8 times.
And restarted The Fugitive 12 different times.
Both of them had 6 bags of Terra chips.
Yeah, see, it would be like that. It would be like Lindsay never got up from her seat, but somehow got millions of snacks. Accumulated.
They both got 2. They both drank 2 tomato juices and gave the same monologue about how good tomato juice is each time. One of them said, yum, yum, yum. And then the other one said, yum, yum, yum.
I'm just saying, like, it just would be like, I can't imagine the things. You just do crazy things on the plane, you know?
Do you think they have a splitter, like a headphone splitter, or do you think they each share a bud?
No, I think they put on their headphones and they go, 1, 2, 3, play. And they play the same voice.
Oh, I see. Yeah. That's joking. They do.
He also asked her if she'd like to watch Marie Antoinette. She said no. That is like that's the icing on the cupcake that is this little submission, you know?
No. Bringing flowers as one of her carry-on items is also a detail that, like, I think it's buried in everything else. That's a little too twee. Where people do you put them? In the overhead?
Well, I mean, they're whatever. Maybe somebody gave her flowers, like, in New York, and she wanted to take them with her. That is kind of
in
a little.
In the airport?
That's kind of a little. I mean, no, like, before she left New York? I don't know.
That's a stretch. Also a stretch. This headline on Us Weekly that really killed me yesterday. I mean, it's a thing where when you click the headline, you will see themier people, but to use two who's really, really kills me. Health update. This is an Us Weekly health update. Health update. Niall Horan, Amanda Bruegel, and more stars who support the vaccine. I know that we are currently in a crisis where more and more people need to get vaccinated. I'm saying this ain't the strategy. This is not going to work.
Maybe Niall, but no one's seeing like Amanda Bruegel from where's she from? She's on The Handmaid's Tale and being like, mm-hmm. Oh, I should really get vaccinated. Like, that's not going to really turn the page for somebody, though I support the support, you know? The and more stars is doing a lot of work here in this headline is what mm-hmm. you're trying to say.
A lot of heavy lifting. Because when you click it, it's like Ariana Grande, Steve Martin, which is a weird pair. But still, you will see actual A-listers, you know? But to start with one of the lesser One Directioners... I mean, as I am a Niall fan.
Oh, my God. And then Amanda Don't Bruegel. Say that on this podcast. You're trying
who
to get
I
us.
Would say is best known for Handmaid's Tale and your favorite movie of all time, A Diva's Christmas Carol, starring Vanessa Williams.
Yes.
I just feel like that's not the right strategy. I saw, when I was Googling Amanda Bruegel, I saw this headline on our favorite website, Looper, that said, Snowpiercer's Amanda Bruegel, because she's a character actress who's in a million things, Snowpiercer's Amanda Bruegel reveals what it's really like working with Jennifer Connelly. And I was like, give me some spicy tea, Looper.com. And then you scroll down and it's like, Jennifer Connelly is so nice and humble. And I was
wow,
like,
wow, she's really beautiful and good at her job. That. Incredible. Thanks, Looper.
Illegal. Yes.
Should be illegal.
Oh, I know you hate when I do segues because we cut segments. But speaking of things that should be illegal, Haley Rode Bieber doing these interviews in her bathroom.
I cut a segment and I have to somehow work around Bobby going, speaking of YouTube, here is something else on YouTube. And I have to figure out how to chop that up to make sense. Like, truly the worst.
Just put in the sensor noise. Speaking of, boop.
We really need like a transition sound or something, but it's not going to happen because it's just not going to happen. No. But Haley Rode Baldwin has been doing her YouTube channel for 4 months now. I checked. And we both think that's much longer than we expected.
What's up, you guys? It's Haley, and welcome to another episode of Who's in My Bathroom. Hey, everyone, it's Haley, and I am back with another episode of Who's in My Bathroom. It's Haley. Welcome back to another episode of Who's in My Bathroom. Hey, you guys, it's Haley. Welcome back to another episode of Who's in My Bathroom.
I'm just like... I'm not going to give her an award at 4 months of YouTube. If she surpasses Brie Larson's year, if she does the Brie Larson, aka a year of active YouTubing, although Brie Larson was doing YouTube like none other, but if she surpasses a year of active YouTubing, then she gets a pat on the back from me.
Just a pat on the back, not an award. So she had Marseille Martin on Who's in My Bathroom, and they made cupcakes. And the first question that she asked Marseille Martin of Little and Blackish fame was, how old are you?
Well,
I was just like, this is the quality of this YouTube series. How old are you?
How old is she?
16.
Oh.
And then Haley was like, wow, I'm so impressed. You're so impressive. You've done so much. You're the youngest person to ever get a movie credit, too. Like a producer
credit. Oh, I thought
you
should say you're the youngest person to be on my YouTube channel. And I'm like, yeah, you've had like four episodes. So
later on, she's like... Do you have a driver's license yet? And Marseille is like, no. And then you hear Marseille's mom talking off camera and you realize that Marseille's mom is like watching because she's a minor. And then
Her mom's there with
Haley her. Haley reveals that she's never graduated from high school, that she never finished high school. And Marseille's like, you never finished high school. And then they play an SAT game. It's very awkward. But I feel like The comments are filled. The comments are not a great place to be because they're people who are very supportive of both of those women. But it's like,
maybe they are. Maybe that means they are a good place to be.
Well, I mean, you're getting very skewed.
I know, but that way you said that was a little shady.
It's a terrible place to be because people support women. Right? No, like, oh my God, okay. That's not what I meant.
The comments are terrible because all these people like these women. It's like, yeah, well, they're watching the YouTube video. You're the only asshole watching it if you don't like, because you don't like Hailey Road Fever.
Oh my
you
God. Ass. Oh my God. You know what I mean. You're only getting one side of the story. Okay, you're only getting super fans.
Sure.
But they're like, I love Hailey. She is so good at this. She's such a wonderful interviewer. And I'm just like, I don't really see that. But I am surprised that she's still doing
this. I do wonder, you know, we've talked about this when this channel launched, but the kind of long game for this, because it's like, did Hailey launch the channel because nobody really knew she was or that she had a personality and she thinks that she has one? It's like, that's actually like a good reason to do it, right? So that she's showing her personality. And then the other thing I thought of, which is like, is this like a long game to like get a TV show? So like Paris Hilton's short-lived cooking show became a Netflix show before it even had a chance to be fun and good. It had a few episodes and then it got ruined because now it's going to be a show and now it's going to be bad. You know, they're going to take all that's fun and janky about it and just like escalate it, and it's going to be not fun, right? Like the minute I heard that, I was like, oh great. So she like immediately monetized like a silly fun thing that she was doing that gave her like personality and realness. Now we have to watch it on Netflix or whatever, which I do not plan to do. But the point is that I don't know if Hailey is going for that specifically.
I don't think she is.
And nor do I think she'd be offered that opportunity from this channel's output.
I really think that the only reason she's doing this, which is not even a bad reason, I think it's actually a pretty smart reason, and it also seems like she's putting a lot of money into this. Like she has like a production crew here. Like these videos actually look quite good. But I think the reason to do this is to just like stay in the
press.
It's
a personality play. Right. No, it's like, and it, their stories will come from it, and then people write about stories. Yeah, it's boring. It's boring. It's boring. It's boring. It's boring. It's boring.
It's boring, but whatever. Not, it's boring.
Okay.
Okay, next up.
Did you study this beforehand? What is zest lemon with the tongue? What is a tomatillo? No, okay. I just went in.
Tommy Dorfman. We didn't talk about Tommy Dorfman last week. We're talking about her today. Tommy Dorfman came out, or actually did not come out, clarified herself in Time magazine in an interview with
That's why Tori I Peters. Loved the like headline of it all. Like it was really nice. It's like it was in Time. I feel like it really has become like since Ellen, it's like Elliot Page, you know, like we really have a run on people wanting to come to Time to talk about this, which is nice. It means like it feels like a supportive place, and they'll represent you the way that you want to be represented, which I like, which is why I liked the headline Tommy Dorfman would like to clarify, because the whole idea behind this was, oh, I'm out, you know, I'm my friends and my family all know that I'm trans, I've, you know, been going by these pronouns now for a long time, etc., but like as a public figure I need to clarify because I haven't actually come out publicly. So technically I'm not coming out, but technically it's a clarification. So like explaining that, and also kind of explaining, which I kind of love, we've talked about Tommy Dorfman as a who, because Tommy Dorfman is like one of those, has a lot of famous friends, but herself isn't, I would say, as like IMDb heavy on the credits, like still kind of, you know, like, which was also
Tommy
really,
Dorfman is around.
Right. But like, if you looked her up, you'd be like, oh, what has she done? You know, like, okay. But what's really funny is that all the headlines were 13 reasons why Tommy Dorfman is trans, which sounds like the Us Weekly.
13 reason why star Tommy Dorfman comes out as trans, and it sounds like you're giving 13 reasons why she came out.
No, that's what I'm saying, is that every single headline for this that was like based off this read insane, because they kept saying 13 reasons why Tommy Dorfman. It's like, what? So every time I laughed, because you have to see the humor in that, because that's her main
credit. Only one reason. There's only one reason. It's because that's who she is.
Right, which is what she's trying to convey in this interview with Tori Peters. Tori Peters wrote really good book, Detransition Baby, that came out last year, earlier this year. Maybe
earlier this year, yeah.
Anyways, they had a nice convo. I liked it done as a Q&A as opposed to a profile. Obviously, I think that's always a better format for this.
I always think that's the right way to do this. Q&As are just like the move.
Because people get to say what they want to say, you know? Mm-hmm. It's interesting because she talks a lot about the idea that she still is very much at the beginning of her career, her acting career, which I would agree with. Yeah, and like that, you know, she's wants to play a female character. She was already cast in the new Lena Dunham movie that is coming out. I don't know when, but it's Lena's working on it.
Hey guys, it's Tommy Dorfman, and these are my 17 favorite things. Number 8, socks, because I hate wearing shoes without socks because I hate the way it feels, and I don't like walking around my house without socks. I have to always have socks on. Number 9, the LGBTQ youth. I feel like everything I do is with them in mind. You inspire me, and you're the reason I wake up in the morning.
Then, since this interview came out, which was interesting, in the past like week or so, she got this like boost of like notoriety, obviously, because it's an interesting topic, and people are always interested in this stuff, and so she keeps getting the like steps out. 13 reasons why actress Tommy Dorfman steps out in a denim mini dress
after coming out. Yeah, like
she showed her. I loved. I hope she's excited about these because I think they're fun headlines, even though they're like paparazzi shots. Like 13 reasons why star Tommy Dorfman beams as she shows off her chic style while out with pal Rowan Blanchard. She got like slim pins in one of the headlines, I think. I was like, oh my God, like, yes, this is fun. I mean, I think. And also, it's like, clearly she's walking around New York, like, you know, seeing the paparazzi and expecting this.
Looking
maybe.
Very chic, like literally going shopping and getting coffee with her friends. There was a lot of Rowan Blanchard. Again, Rowan Blanchard, who we haven't talked about in a while, has proven herself to be kind of the cool girl.
She's
like,
an it girl.
Because her whole thing is always like, I'm cool, but I'm also very smart. Like, I'm the best of my generation.
Right.
Yeah. Hey guys, what's up? I'm Rowan Blanchard, and you're watching Disney Channel.
Bippity-boppity-boo. Tommy's been seen out with her. Tommy is part of like a crowd. We talked about this. Like, remember when Tommy and Tommy's husband were in a like quarantine house with like Ashley Benson and like
Cara Delevingne
and what's her face and the Andy McDowell's daughter was there too.
Margaret Qualley. But that was brief. That was like when people thought the lockdown was going to be a month. And then they realized it was going to be longer. And Tommy was like, I'm going home.
Right. No, but that was such a funny, I'd love to hear the behind the scenes of that. Because that was such a funny, like, it's like, why is Tommy Dorfman and her husband, like, in this house, like, with these people? Like, they thought they were just going to, like, have a fun long month of, like, hanging out and, like, co-working. But it turned out that they're like, we got to go.
Yeah.
We
got
to go.
And then we got a lot of. You get a lot of tweets like, well, what about Tommy Dorfman's husband? And it's like, well, what about Tommy Dorfman's husband? Tommy Dorfman's husband is like, yeah, I love my wife. So, yeah.
Well, it wasn't clear whether there was a little bit of wording in the interview that made it seem like she was like, I'm having a clean slate, you know, in the dating sense of it all. But then reading a few more things that came out after, I think that she's still with her husband. I don't know. I mean, that's a weird thing to speculate on. But like, it was unclear to me. It was unclear to me.
The husband did put out like a very supportive statement. So I don't know.
Because you know what happened? I mean, honestly, like Elliot Page came out and he split up. So it's like it can cause like a riff.
I loved this photo that I pasted in of Tommy and Rowan and a mystery friend like sitting outside a coffee shop looking honestly miserable. Who wouldn't whenever you're being photographed by everyone?
I mean, I think they got them in like a very rude moment. I mean, it's like truly so rude.
But the caption is so funny. Breather. The trio chilled out on a bench outside of a coffee shop where they looked to enjoy each other's company, which is clearly a joke caption because they all look so miserable in this photo. I think it's very funny.
Right.
Hi, I'm Tommy Dorfman, and today I'm playing Hulu's Rapid Fire Questions. Let's begin.
And I'm Rainey Qualley.
Hi, I'm Tommy Dorfman.
And I'm Rainey Qualley.
And today we're playing
Rapid Fire Questions.
Ali Fedotowsky got shingles, which is really sad.
Oh, not Ali Fedotowsky.
She was scary.
Who is she again? Oh, Bachelor.
Bachelor. She's former Bachelor Nation.
She was
the
one who like worked for Facebook and quit to go on The Bachelor. Anyway, she's been somehow like relevant for so long after. That was like,
and there's something about her name.
5 or something.
I just got home. I can't even explain the pain I'm in. My doctor prescribed this gabapentin. Supposed to help with nerve pain. Sorry, I'm gonna go lay down, go to bed. But oh my gosh, shingles suck.
Yeah, there's something about she's been around for so long that like I always my gut instinct is that Ali Fedotowsky is an actor. So I'm like,
oh, she's
right.
She's like institutional, like, in this podcast.
Right. I just think about her as like a little more, a little higher up the ladder than most Bachelor contestants. And I'm not really sure why. I don't know why she really deserves
that.
She's
super Sherry. And I think that's also why, too. She's super like Sherry. And we get a lot of her intimate moments, aka getting shingles, because she's putting this stuff on Instagram. This time she put it on Instagram and she was like, I got shingles. I don't even know I could get them at my age. You know, and it's like common misconception. Young people can get shingles, you know.
Young people can get shingles. There's also a shingles vaccine that you can get if you ask your doctor.
Hashtag shingles virus. She put hashtag
shingles virus.
Let's use
the hashtag that Ali has started. Hashtag shingles virus. But she's, you know, she's raising awareness about shingles. And I actually find this commendable.
Do you?
People don't understand shingles. Yeah.
Sure.
Shingles hurts. Well, I have some facts. Okay. Recently had someone close to me got shingles.
Same.
30-something person. So anyway, it got me a little nervous. I was like, oh, can I get shingles? I've had chicken pox, whatever. And I was talking to my dermatologist because I had my annual mole check.
Sure.
Yeah, and we're talking about my moles. We're talking about shingles.
Yeah.
And he's a little bit of a weirdo.
Oh,
but
really?
He was like, he did talk about how he had seen, he thinks that he was like, shingles is so interesting because like it's caused by the chickenpox virus, but it's also contagious. So it could be like brought on by stress, like.
But most
we've
shingles,
brought on by any number of things.
Things that you see are stress related in younger people.
Right.
It's not contagious. It's not. They didn't
get
it by
see.
Contagiousness.
That's how.
Meanwhile, chickenpox. The whole
yes.
thing about chickenpox is it's like contagious, and children get it by like jumping into each other. You
exactly.
know? Yeah.
But he was talking about how, as a dermatologist, he was like, I understand that it can be brought on by this like dormant virus that's reactivated by stress. But he was like, I also think that it's way more contagious than people give it credit for. He was like, because I've almost seen no cases of shingles this year. And he was like, and this is an old guy. My dermatologist is old. He's like, I always see like a very, you know, consistent amount of shingles cases every year. And I've seen like none. And so he's like, I think it's more contagious than people give it credit for. So it's like, if you are around someone
so
who
he's
has
saying
shingles,
like the flu effect that COVID has caused, where no one's really getting the
yes.
flu as much, is also
which
affecting
is also,
shingles because it is more contagious than people thought.
Which is also why he brought up the shingles vaccine. He was like, it's worth getting the shingles vaccine if you can.
Hashtag shingles
virus.
Talk
to your doctor about the vaccine. Niall Horan, Amanda Bruegel, and more stars who support the shingles vaccine.
I mean, we are like, shingles are not going to get the attention that it needs for years. We are focused on a different vaccine. The shingles vaccine is, that's why Ali Fedotowsky
get
is doing God's work, you know, bringing attention to.
Get in line.
I just wanted to be clear and honest about why I will be missing the Unbroken events in the next few days, which is that I found out last night that I have chickenpox. So I will be home, itching and missing everyone, and I can't believe it because this film means so much to me. I just can't believe it. But such is life, there it is. And send everyone my love and hope everything goes well.
Okay, Destry Spielberg.
Well, I mean, and Owen King and Hopper Pent. This was all kicked off this nepotism debate, which, you, as you know, we love nepotism. I absolutely love it. By this Twitter account that I think is just like one of those like film aggregators. But sometimes they reword stuff in a very specific way that gets people chatting. And this one, I think they did a very good job in, because the tweet is this.
It's like Culture Crave or Pop Crave.
But it's for like film nerds, you know.
At Discussing Film.
Hopper Penn, Sean Penn's son, and Brian Darcy, James, have been cast in The Right Way from director Destry Spielberg, Steven Spielberg's daughter, and writer Owen King, Stephen King's son. So like by putting those X's son, X's daughter in parentheses, this tweet started a like snowball effect of people being like LMAO, you know? When it's like what's pretty funny is like nepotism aside, how do you think these people get know each other? It's because they're all these people's sons and daughters.
Right.
So of course they're working on a
thing. Because they all went to the same high school.
The other funny thing about this is that this tweet doesn't say what the right way is. It's a short film. If you go to Deadline and read about it, it's like they're working on a short film together. You know what I mean? It's not like that crazy impressive. Sorry. I mean, short films are cool, but I read this as some sort of like feature film, and I'm like, oh wow, like that's kind of a lot for all these. But it's just a short.
But that ends up being proving Franklin Leonard, who is the screenwriter and like Hollywood guy who founded The Blacklist, that like annual competition where you find like the best unproduced screenplays.
Right.
That's what this guy's claim to fame is, Franklin Leonard. And he quote tweeted the Disgusting Film tweet and said, Hollywood's a meritocracy, right? Like LOL, yeah. Shade. But the fact that this was a short film proves his point, because it's like typically a short casting announcements for a short film would not get Deadline coverage.
No one
would care.
You're totally right.
But it becomes a story because of nepotism. So it's actually like even more egregious that it's a short film, you know? But anyway, he goes, Hollywood's a meritocracy, right? And that makes Destry Spielberg have to like...
Well... First,
defend herself.
First, it gets Ben Stiller going for some reason. So Ben Stiller starts fighting with him about it in the tweets. And then Destry Spielberg responds and then deletes. And her tweet says, I am just a young aspiring female filmmaker who admires the art of cinema. People can argue nepotism, but I know deep down that I worked hard to get where I am and it wasn't easy. Beyond proud of this film and proud of the team it took to make it. And then she said, I acknowledge I was born with privilege. I own that through and through. I make it my mission to bring new talent into the industry and give opportunities to artists of all backgrounds. No one should be left out because of their connections that they don't have. So you're talking about Stephen King's son and Sean Penn's
of all backgrounds
son.
Whether they're horror writers, whether they're Academy Award winning actors, whether they are directors' daughters. I love giving everyone opportunities. I don't want to be super mean to her, but
Sean Penn's son Hopper Pett has been in stuff. He's like an actor. He's a working actor. Uh-huh. And Owen King has been writing Stephen King-esque stuff for a while as well. So it's like these aren't like not only are these not people who don't have connections, but they're also already working in the industry that they want to be working in, which is their father's industries.
You know why Ben Stiller joined in on this conversation without...
Because his parents
are... He just like chimed in because he's nepotism. Right, well. And it's like obviously something that he is very sensitive about. So even though no one mentioned Ben Stiller, people often, I think, forget that Ben Stiller is from a famous Hollywood family. But like no one mentioned him and he goes too easy at Franklin Leonard. People working, creating. Everyone has their path. Wish them all the best.
Yeah.
Which is like he's saying almost nothing there, which is true, but it's like the only reason you're involving yourself in this conversation is because you are aware of yourself, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's a frustrating conversation because, you know, you call nepotism them somebody when they're like not good because you're like, oh, you don't deserve this and you're not even that good. But then when they're good and it's also nepotism, you're like, oh, well, they're good. Like,
well,
so
whatever.
So that's why it's like one of those things where it's hard to negotiate in your mind that like everything feels that it's this way. But like Hollywood is a family business kind of in many ways. Like
Destry's
it's not surprising.
Destry's Twitter.
Yeah.
Destry's Twitter bio like absolutely put me on the floor because it's like the Twitter construction, like say you're a product of nepotism without saying you're a product of nepotism. And her bio is writer, director, actress. Star, horse, star, equestrian. I was like, the moment you say equestrian next to all those things, I think we can put two and two together.
Location, London England. Yeah, I mean, it's...
Whatever. I'll watch the short film.
I'm not watching it. How do you... Not even, who cares?
Actually, I won't watch the short film.
It's time for the relationship corner. We have five splits. I'm going through this quick.
Five splits.
I'm going through this quickly, so you better pay attention, okay? Shauna Mochler and Matthew Rondeau broke up. Shauna Mochler is Travis Barker's ex who is only getting attention because of Travis Barker, and I feel bad for her because, honestly, that's probably all she gets asked about, and it's probably really fucking annoying.
Mm-hmm.
She had a boyfriend who she kept being like, but I'm happy. Here's my boyfriend. And now she doesn't. He said, quote, I hope she finds what she's looking for, but it's not going to be me.
So mean.
Babe, okay.
It's like, you can just do half of that sentence. I hope she finds what she's looking for. You can put a period there, not a comma, sir.
No one asked for the second part. Okay. Moving on, number two, Lindsay Crisley, spelt insane, L-I-N-D-S-I-E. Yes, that Lindsay Crisley and Will Campbell are getting a divorce after 9 years. Sad. She's the Crisley Knows Best daughter. I'm not sure if she's the one who hates her father, but it wouldn't surprise me. One of them hates him, right?
She is the one who hates her dad.
Oh, she is the one who hates her dad?
She is the one who hates her dad.
She is. Okay, yeah. So Lindsay is one of the one who hates her dad. Does Savannah hate her dad too? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Savannah likes her dad.
Okay, great. Because they like work together. Moving on, number three, Sammy Sweetheart, a.k.a. the small business owner of Sammy's on the Coast, the boardwalk shop.
What's the shop called? It's called
Sammy's Coast.
It's called
Sweetheart Coast.
Yeah, you're right. Sweetheart Coast.
A terrible name. Listener John sent me a picture of himself. Did you know that that store has a step and repeat that you can take photos in front of, which makes me want to go there so badly.
Another reason to go to Atlantic
City. Sent me a picture of himself in the step and repeat. He looked amazing. Thank you so much, great. John.
Ocean City, excuse me.
Oh, they were fiancé.
Christian
Biscardi. The breakup doesn't seem to have dampened her spirits. When a fan asked if she was happy, she responded, yes, in all caps. Okay, moving on. Number four. This is pretty funny because Nelly had been dating a woman named Chantel Jackson for a long time, since 2014. And just this week, she confirmed that they had broken up. Then later, the Shade Room posted about it, and he stepped into the Shade Room, my favorite thing a celebrity can do, and he said, well, actually, just ended 5 years in 2019. Haven't been together for the past 2 years. Okay, now you'll know. Hashtag facts. So, like, no one cared enough to ask if they were together. I mean, no one just cared enough to know. They broke up, like, pre-pandemic, and then now no people are just one. Finding out.
Well, the way that it was confirmed that they broke up was funny. Like, one of them posted a photo of the two of them together, and a fan commented, I love seeing you guys together. And then Chantel responded to the commenter and said, well, we're not. We're just friends.
Right. And then Nelly, and then they posted about it, or the Shade Room did, and Nelly stepped
they broke
in
up.
And said, yeah, we haven't been together in 2 years.
Yes.
Okay. And now last but Number not five. Least, well, actually it is kind of least. Last and least. You know what's last but not least? Does anyone say like last and certainly least, you know? Like this one is least.
We can do that now. Last and certainly least, Mabel and Rome Flynn.
Mabel, who is a singer. We talked about her. She had like a big song a few years ago and then like occasionally some okay songs. She's
Swedish. She's one of those Swedish girlies.
But
right?
She's the daughter, we talked about this, of Nina Cherry.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
She was dating this actor named Rome Flynn, who you might know from How to Get Away with Murder and some other things. And they have broken up now multiple times. I love this. A source has told The Sun, however, that the God is a Dancer songstress and the How to Get Away with Murder actor have split once again. So they broke up for a second time.
A second time. Yeah, right. Truly least. That's truly least.
They must be like more famous in the UK because we got some. I think she's British. Mabel and Rome have a ton of chemistry, but it's no secret their relationship faced serious challenges. He lives in LA while she is based in the UK and they both travel a lot for work. When you consider those factors, it's pretty unlikely romance, but they like each other so much that they agreed to try again earlier this year. Things were so much more in their favor when they were actually in the same country, but unfortunately it didn't work out and they are both single again.
Who Weekly is brought to you by Squarespace. As usual, we love Squarespace.
We love Squarespace.
It's the only way we will ever have a website.
Is Squarespace. You're right. Because it's easy. Because I can update it very fast when things go crazy with tour announcing, which we might have to do relatively soon.
Might? Might?
You said, we just came and saw you. I said, well, this is a 365 podcast. We're planning ahead.
Everyone's doing live shows these days, so all the venues are getting booked up. So we have to book our tour, which is far away, pretty soon. But we already know the dates. We're ready to update the website on Squarespace.
And we also already know how to put them on the website, which is like half the battle because it's Squarespace.
Exactly.
And we've done this for a long time, and it's very, very easy.
We love Squarespace because It's very easy to update things. We love Squarespace because we have a contact form, which is the way most people get in touch with us. Even though we have a very easy to remember email address, which is whatsritaupto@gmail.com, people would prefer to just use the contact form on Squarespace because Squarespace is easy. And on our website, it's easy to find our press clippings. It's easy to find embeds of the podcast. It's easy to find anything you need to know about our podcast. So go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
We've talked about Kate Moss's sister, Lottie Moss, who's like in the Daily Mail nonstop, but this is from The Sun. Mm-hmm. She is dating somebody, and it's big news. Yeah, she's dating the Vamps singer Tristan Evans for weeks, they claim. There's chemistry. They met through friends.
That's huge.
And really
Lindsay,
hit it off.
This is huge.
She is seriously keen and told friends she is really into Tristan. It all became public after they had a snog during a night out in the Capitol. But this isn't just a flash in the pan. I love this because at the end of this paragraph, they said the Vamp star Tristan had been single. Do you know a Vamp song? I don't think I know a Vamp song.
No.
Is that a thing? Should we know a Vamp song?
I only hear about the Vamps in English press. They talk about
like are they a real band?
Tristan Evans pops up sometimes.
Or are they like a fake
band
in a movie?
They must be a real band. I couldn't name a song. Maybe if it's one of those bands where it's like you hear the song and you're like, oh, wait, they use that song in movie trailers sometimes. Like,
right.
But I could not tell you a Vamp song.
So this is the Vamp star Tristan has been single since he split from his fiance Anastasia Smith in 2018, while Lottie, the younger sister of supermodel Kate, has been on the market since her short-lived fling with Ronan Kemp last year. I searched Anastasia Smith and Tristan, whatever his last name's, Evans maybe, and what's really funny is in 2018, Just Jared Jr. called it the most shocking split of 2018.
Says, Jesus.
And I was like, I don't think you think that.
Wait, let's hear a Vamp song. Let's put a Vamp song in the episode. I'm going to play one and see if you recognize it. I was expecting, I don't know what, I was expecting
like a punk rock situation.
Yeah.
Not like a, not like that type of shit.
Whoa.
Yeah, like.
With like a weird EDM drop.
Yeah, that sounded like Owl, what's that band?
Owl City.
Owl City mixed with like fun, period. Like why?
Yeah, like I wasn't expecting the vibe to be like, we're gonna have a good time tonight.
What's or that? Like,
yeah, this is not the vibe I was expecting, and I'm really not interested.
I thought he was cool, and now I'm like, okay, Lottie, to each their own. Speaking of Brits, we should stay in the UK, I guess.
We're staying in the UK, okay.
Guess what?
Oh, no, I don't want to talk about this.
You might have noticed on the Who Weekly Instagram, if you follow it, which you should be because it's updated sporadically enough to be interesting. And I've put a few things in the stories where...
Put that in the Instagram bio. Updated sporadically enough to be interesting.
I mean, is that not true? It should be updated.
No, it's true.
It should be updated more if we were doing our job properly. But unfortunately, we
gotta
are
do a better
lazy.
Job
but
you do all those TikToks. You're great at that.
Yeah, well, that goes along with my insomnia sickness. So if you've noticed, like
moving
I have,
to something bad for me.
If you've noticed something in the Instagram, which is that I've posted in these reels, or are they reels? They're reels.
They're Instagram.
They're
reels
Instagram reels,
Instagram.
Which
yeah.
is like longer Instagram stories of Brooklyn Beckham. That's right, the Brooklyn Beckham, who remains very strange. He is now
and active,
pivoting
and active.
Into food.
When you first sent me the video of him making...
Like pasta with spaghetti sauce?
It was a steak. It was a steak. His first thing that you sent was a steak quesadilla because he like makes the steak and then he cuts it up. I was like, he's trying to get a show. Like he's... Oh no, he's pivoting to food.
I mean,
remember
talk about...
Like, I'm a photographer?
Talk about nepotism. Like this dude makes like one quesadilla on Instagram, and according to the Sun, he's in talks with YouTube and Facebook about an online series. God.
I mean, he uses metal utensils on his nonstick pans, which instantly repulsed me. I was like, has anyone seen Dark Waters? I haven't, but I know what it's about. And I'm not using metal utensils on my nonstick pans.
Brooklyn's got a real flair in the kitchen. And his tutorials, first of all, they're not tutorials. They're like sped up.
They're not tutorials.
He has posted Instagram, received great feedback.
But you're right. Like, there's no, I don't know, you look at like the viral chefs online right now, and you either really have to have a lot of skill. Like, you will forgive a lack of personality for recipes that you love, right? Like, well, this person bugs the shit out of me, but their food is iconic. And then you look at someone, which I think is really common on TikTok, where it's like, you get two versions on TikTok where it's just like the form of the video is just so compelling to see, like that outdoor, the guy who grills outside
he cuts up his little mushrooms on a little stump. Yeah, he's on a little stump cutting up his little vegetables.
And then you have your Tabitha Browns, who were way more personality focused, where it's like,
exactly,
your food like looks whatever, but I like listening
but
to
also
you
because it's a shtick you have a because nice it's vegan and she's very specific right. in that.
Here, you don't get the education. You don't get the aesthetic.
There's certainly no aesthetic.
Acumen. And you don't get personality because he's silent in all of the videos. He doesn't talk. He doesn't look at the camera. He's just speeding up videos of him making French toast.
Yeah, he made a Brooklyn burger, which I assume is like his name, but also the type because he made like a smash burger, like a very...
He didn't even make a smash. It's not even the smash burger.
Well, he made a towering. He towered it on top. But he made like the burger
it's
sauce.
It's the most impractical burger. I mean, it's the most impractical burger.
Right. I mean, I'm just like, this is such a good example of an aimless son of two very famous people trying to find his mm-hmm. way. And in a way, you mm-hmm. kind of have to feel bad for him. I mean, you don't have to feel bad for him. But I'm just saying like,
no.
You have to kind of like...
You understand the psychology.
You understand how the kind of lost he must feel. Like he has a new fiance. He really loves her, Nicola Peltz. She's richer than God. He's richer than God. They don't really need to be doing anything. But in that way, it traps you to like, what do you really want to do? Which means, oh, I'm a photographer. Oh, I'm a cook. Oh, I'm a this. Oh, I'm a that. It's like, it must be very stressful and very, you know, you get what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. He's aimless.
I get what you're saying. He's very aimless. He's very, very aimless.
Famously aimless. And he's probably also the best known. He is the best known son of Victoria Posh and Bex. Like, he's the name brand son, Brooklyn Beckham. He's the Northwest. He's the Surrey Cruise.
What is my favorite Brooklyn? I had to Google this. The best Brooklyn Beckham photograph. Oh, yeah.
Which
it's
one?
A photo of an elephant in silhouette in Kenya. Okay, that he took. It's a silhouette of an elephant in Kenya. And the caption is, elephants in Kenya, so hard to photograph, but incredible to see.
I mean, he studied photography in New York for a really long time.
And it's not even like his food doesn't appear like the food of someone who just finished culinary school. You know, like, it's not like his food looks amazing.
No, it's but that's the thing. It's like, someone like Brooklyn Beckham would never think to go to culinary school. Wouldn't that be what you would do? You know, like, right? Like, you'd be like, oh, I think I'm interested in food. I'd love to go learn. I should go to, I have endless time and endless money. I should go to culinary school and learn. And he's just like, I should start making food on Instagram immediately. Yeah.
Well, it's you get addicted to the instant gratification.
Sure,
it's not
sure,
just
sure.
like, I want instant gratification. It's like, my whole life I've gotten instant gratification.
Right, and why would you go learn how to cook when you could just cook on Instagram and get a TV show or whatever, a YouTube show? Mm-hmm. I mean, also, it's so funny that he's in talks to YouTube. Just start a YouTube channel and do it there and monetize it. Like, it's just such a strange, like, talk to Hailey Bieber or whatever.
Yeah.
People are so weird.
This Sun story that you pasted in, though, is just like the press over there is just so terrible. Even so, on his Instagram tutorial so far, Brooklyn has shown off recipes for hearty steak quesadillas, French toast, and what looks like a very unhealthy burger with four patties. Maybe next time he will create some mega healthy nosh that's a bit more suitable for his mom. I Oh my god, I just inhaled my coffee. I can't see her touching any of these artery-clogging creations.
This is the talk of the town, so it's got a personality. It's a columnist-like thing or whatever.
Just let him have this YouTube thing. Like, not everything needs to be a YouTube series. Not everything needs to be monetized. It's just so...
Yeah, well, like, especially when you don't need the money. It's like, just have fun.
It's just so frustrating. Yeah, let these people have fun. It looks like he's having fun, even though, like, I'm not having fun watching it.
He does a lot of them. I'm always like, oh, another one.
But the smash, the patty should be thinner. If you're making a burger like that, the patty should be thinner.
Yeah, you're right. And you need one of those like things to weigh them down too, which I always want to buy. But like, that's a, talk about a one-use tool. It's like.
But you can also just get a brick and wrap it in aluminum foil.
Okay, a brick? Where am I getting a brick?
Yeah.
A brick.
Anywhere. Look around.
A brick. A brick.
Look around.
A brick.
Home Depot. The ground.
A brick.
Where that bus ran into the brownstone? Grab a brick.
Sorry to my landlord. I chipped a brick out of the wall so I could use it to make smash burgers. That's truly a Brooklyn burger right there.
I took it off of a brownstone on Green.
Okay, moving on.
Usually photographers have such insane lunch requests, but since today I'm the photographer, I'm going to be cooking spaghetti bolognese. My dad taught me this recipe, but today I'm going to be taking out the steak and replacing it with mushroom. I hate throwing out water, so that's why I use a little bit for the sauce. That probably needs another 20 minutes.
Moving on. We got this story about Owen Wilson's ex,
Varuni
Vongsvirates, who is a na. Let's call a spade a spade. She is a na.
Right.
But this story I thought was interesting to point out that it says, the headline is very, I don't know, baity. Owen's twin, Owen Wilson's ex, Varuni Vongsvirates, shows rare photo of lookalike love child Lila, too, as he's, quote, never met daughter. So the story is about how this woman, Varuni, Instagrammed a photo of Lila's second birthday party. Okay, Lila, look, the lookalike status, Lila looks just like Owen.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the lookalike thing here. And they talk about how, you know, she rarely posts photos of this kid, which is true. In the past year, she's posted almost nothing. And they quote, he's never met daughter. And I was like, wow, I kind of forgot that all this happened because there was this whole scandal where he got this woman pregnant and he was like, I'm not the father. And then she got a paternity test and he was the father. And it says he's never met her, but the story that they're quoting from is from 2 years ago. So it's still unclear, like right when the baby was born. So it's still unclear as to like whether or not he's met this kid in the past 2 years. It really does seem like she's like, he pays for everything. Like it's not an issue with money, but like, it looks like they don't have a relationship. And that's
which
kind
is why
what the story
I'm
so kind
of
sad.
Surprised she's commenting on it, because it almost feels like that payment should come with a gag order, or it would come with a gag order to be like,
well, she isn't. That's the thing. That's what I think.
Oh, so she talks, this is old quotes.
They're only using quotes that are 2 years old.
So once the DNA test
she's not allowed to say anything.
Taken, then she's like, all right, moving on. You know, like, I don't say anything, and just like,
yeah,
I'll post pictures, and if people want to write about it, that's on them. But I'm not quoted.
I bet that was the terms. And
God,
so,
got it.
What sucks is that I think what happened is that that's sort of the corner that Owen has gotten himself into, where it's like the only thing she's ever said about him was he paid, but he's never met her. And then it looks like she got a gag order or something, because she hasn't said a fucking word about this guy in 2 years. So now the only quote they have to use is negative. And for all we know, he could be, you know, checking in. I mean, I have no idea, but we just truly don't know anything. And the quotes make it seem like she just said this, but she didn't.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, always be skeptical of stories like this. I don't know. That's the lesson here.
Always be skeptical. Always be skeptical.
I just completely forgot about this whole bit of drama. Because he has two other kids that, like, he actually
sees.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
anyway,
it's just, that's like a misleading headline. And it only
really
came from the fact that she posted a new photo on her Instagram, essentially. And it's clearly, like, she is somebody at the Sun who wrote this, or they're paying attention to for this reason.
Gives a shit about.
And also Owen Wilson's, like, in low-key now. So I guess it's like, okay, he's, like, back in the talk of, like, he wasn't really acting for a while, or he, like, took a break or whatever. So now it's, like, he's worth talking about. You know who's definitely worth talking about?
Who?
Coco Austin. We do not talk about Coco Austin enough. Ice-T's wife.
Well, there was a time when Coco Austin was everywhere.
She still
know?
Kind of
Coco
is
Coco Austin
everywhere.
Was all over the tabs.
She still kind of is.
She's been overshadowed, I feel. I feel like there's something about Coco Austin
by
and
Chanel?
Ice-T's relationship that's very dated. Like, I look at them and I'm like, I'm instantly transported to like 2009.
Well, he's very much like wife guy. Like, he loves his wife, you know, and she loves being the wife, you know? And now they have a kid. And Chanel Austin, who looks just like Ice-T and not like, I mean, she looks like her mom a little bit, but she really looks like her dad. And
his genes are more powerful.
His genes are very powerful. I think there were some photos of her and they were like, whoa, Ice-T, powerful genes. You know, like the DNA is cute. Strong. She's really cute. Mm-hmm. And they often are matching, mom and daughter. And so sometimes they get press for that or just like something like that. But this most recent press, I have to say I love for many reasons. Okay, so even Us Weekly covered this, which I thought was great. Coco Austin defends breastfeeding 5-year-old daughter Chanel.
Well, no, the Us Weekly got, they're the exclusive. That's who Coco talked to.
They got the exclusive.
Yeah.
They got the exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Chanel still likes my boobs, Coco told Us Weekly. That's my favorite quote. That's like what she said.
Chanel still likes my boobs.
Normalized nursing. I'm not sure this is what we're talking about. Normalized nursing. Coco Austin explained her decision to continue breastfeeding her 5-year-old daughter, Chanel. Chanel still likes my boobs, the model 42 exclusively told Us Weekly recently while sharing her parenting do's and don'ts. It's a big bonding moment for your mother and your child. Totally understand that. But here's where things get a little bit like, okay. The Los Angeles native explains that while her little one does eat steak and hamburgers, Chanel, quote, likes a little snack every now and then.
I love that language, though. Sometimes you get tired with steak and hamburgers. You just want a glass of milk, you know?
She wrote, believe me, the girl loves meat, so it's not like she isn't eating real food. Thanks for understanding my view. I see most of you are eager to side with me, and I, too, root for you in your journey as well. Us moms are connected. Yeah, I mean, I think it's like... It's not PC or not like what to say, like, oh, yeah, obviously do whatever you want. If you want to keep breastfeeding your 5-year-old daughter, I'm just cracking up at the like, she eats a hamburger.
Guys, she eats hamburgers also. She just also still breastfeeds.
She comes with a boo-boo and she loves on it. And it's not like she's getting a meal from it, but she's getting her little snack and it's kind of soothing her to sleep. That's so I don't. I think all women do something differently, you know, when it comes to their child, but I don't want to deprive the boob from her.
You know what?
What?
You makes me sleep.
It does? See? That's good.
Sleep. And you like the boo-boo, huh? Yes. I don't want to deprive her of something she wants. Just because society says you need to stop after 2?
It's the ultimate. It doesn't surprise me. Because first of all, Coco Austin loves her boobs, clearly. She loves her boobs. And Chanel, and she's proud of
Chanel
them.
Chanel loves them too.
And Chanel loves them too. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, I think that I would assume that, like, why take that away from her if she doesn't want it? All right, that's where you stop it. But I'm not going to say no. I feel like people get a lot of shit for, like, their breastfeeding decisions and opinions regardless. So she's probably always on the defense when it comes to breastfeeding issues. It's like, look, this is what I do, and this is, I'm going to talk about it openly. Like, for all we know, like, Us Weekly was like, how's your day going? And she was like, look, Chanel does still breastfeed, but it's okay, you know?
I just love the idea of, like, Chanel, like, munching down on, like, a burger, and then, like, and as opposed to, like, a milkshake, she's like, all right.
Mom.
Mom,
like, get over here.
Time for some bonding. Let's bond.
God, I love that she has not grown out of, and I'm talking about Coco, not Chanel, that she has not grown out of the, like, let's dress like my daughter. She's been doing this for 5 years.
No, they love to dress like each other.
It will never stop.
Which is also double insane because another one of her things is dressing really sexy. So that, like, it's not just like, oh, mother and daughter are dressing the same outfit. It's like the outfit is, like, extraordinarily distorted on her body because she's just, like, such a, like, cartoon character of a woman. And her daughter is just a normal, you know, 5-year-old girl.
Just a kid. And also, it's very funny to keep seeing this headline, Chanel still likes my boobs.
Yeah.
Kind of all over the place, because it could easily read as, oh, it's a famous person talking about wearing Chanel.
Right.
You know, like being right. dressed by Chanel.
She's not sample size, I'll tell you that. I mean, her boobs are huge. They're not, like, there's no way they would fit.
People have always said, Coco got a fake butt, Coco this, that, and the other. And it's been just something that's haunted her. Now, I don't naturally let men touch on my wife's butt, but I want you to inspect her booty right here on television, all right? Go on, stand up, Coco.
Okay, but you gotta really inspect it, because I know it's real. Okay?
This is purely medical.
Okay. I hope so.
And I feel so honored, because we know your buttock is iconic.
Look, I'm ready.
And here we go.
All right.
I'm feeling some kind of way right now.
Okay.
Yeah,
so, based on anatomy,
right?
And he checked
in terms
up here
of the
too.
Muscles,
listen
there
to
are
the doctor.
There are three muscles there. Okay. I can feel them all. There's not an implant there. Mm-hmm. I don't feel fat injected. Mm-hmm. I can certify that this is a real natural.
I have like a really good. You know, every once in a while, there's like an indecipherable Australia Daily Mail Australia headline. See if you can break this down. Influencer Indy Thu joins OnlyFans after, quote, splitting from her property heir boyfriend, .. as she continues to live rent-free in Justin Hem's home with his girlfriend, Madeline Holtznagel.
Lindsay, I can break this down, because I looked it all up. I was like, I have to break this down.
First of all, since when does living rent-free, like, not mean in your mind? It means actually in your house. Right?
Indy Thu lives rent-free in my house.
Right.
But, like, means it.
I was like, living rent-free is just such a funny term of phrase to say for real. Like, it with a...
To mean it literally?
To mean it literally at this point.
She's an Instagram model named Indy Thu. Indy Thu is, I think, 24. And her best friend is this other woman who's a model named Madeline Holtznagel. Madeline Holtznagel's boyfriend is a billionaire who I think is an heir to this, like, pub throne, and that is who Justin Hems is. So Justin Hems and Madeline Holtznagel live in this enormous house because Justin is a billionaire.
Okay.
Or a billionaire heir.
Okay.
Indy Thu was dating another really rich heir named... Oh, I just had
Angus
him open.
Angus Onesfaru.
Angus. Yes. Angus. They just split. Okay?
Oh, no.
And so she splits from this guy, and she was, and now she's crashing at Justin's house.
Okay.
Because she's best friends with Madeline.
Sure, why not?
And so rumors were running wild last week that Thu had been given the heave-ho from Hem's Coogee pad. I guess that's a neighborhood or a town, okay? So there are rumors that were saying that Justin kicked her out after she split from Angus, who I also think Angus was friends with Justin, so that's another reason why they were close, okay? Because they're like, you know, two property heirs or two billionaire heirs are buds, okay? But that wasn't true, and the reason we know that wasn't true is because it's straight from her management. So it says, Thu's management shut down that chatter, confirming to Emerald City that the influencer is still living there. So it's like, don't you dare start rumors that she was kicked out of this house. She still lives rent-free in Justin Hems' house.
I mean, the house seems like it's huge. She probably has her own, like, bed and bath.
She probably has her own wing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if she has her own literal building.
Right. Like, he's a billionaire.
Last time Madeline Holtznagel got press was during Australia Fashion Week. And there was this really funny headline, which has not been updated. We still do not know who this person is, but the headline was, who's that girl? Justin Hem's model girlfriend, Madeline Holtznagel, has a stunning lookalike who is turning heads at Australian Fashion Week. And the story is just about how this woman, this other blonde woman who looks just like Madeline Holtznagel,
who we still don't know who she is, and there's a full-ass photo of her?
There's a full-ass photo of her, and she posed with all these famous people, and no one knows who this woman is. There's just like, they look the same, and they were both at Fashion Week. Can you believe it? And it's like, I kind of can't believe that two blonde women were at Fashion Week and look sort of similar.
Well, isn't that the point of Fashion Week? It's all women who look the same. Like, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's
wearing clothes.
Yeah,
that
that's
the
like
same.
A requirement. Mm-hmm. Is that all women look like mm-hmm. this? So it's not surprising that they look alike.
Exactly.
I'm just not surprised. While I was looking at this headline about, you know, Thu, what's her name again? Thu. Mm-hmm. What's the first one's name?
Ivy. Thu.
Indy
Thu. Indy Thu.
I got a related story that cracked me up, because literally, this woman, Vanessa Valadares, she broke up with Zac Efron months ago.
Yeah, Vanessa Valadares. Yeah.
Valadares. I'm saying it like an insane person. Valadares. She broke up with Zac Efron months ago, right?
Months ago.
Months
she was
ago.
A like server, right?
She was a server at like a restaurant that he went to. They met, she's mm-hmm. beautiful, they got together, whatever. They've been broken up for months, and yet this woman continues to get Daily Mail press. I don't know if she's calling them. Impressive. I think she might be at this point because she's getting press that is beyond. It's like, first of all, she got this week, who needs a Hollywood hunk anyways? Zac Efron's ex-girlfriend, Vanessa Valadares, puts on a brave face as she catches up with a gal pal in Byron Bay. Back to basics, brawless Vanessa Valadares visits a wellness store in Byron Bay before driving off in a beaten up 1986 Toyota Corona following her split with Zac Efron. Showing him what he's missing, Zac Efron's ex, Vanessa Valadares, flaunts her model figure in a tiny string bikini at the beach after their shock split.
But their shock split was months
ago. I know, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, exactly. And we're getting literally headlines, like, once a week, if not more than that, about this woman literally just hanging out. She drank red wine braless in a blazer. She returned to living a Byron Bay lifestyle. She hit the beach for a winter slim. And then you have the rudest headline, which dates back to the same Australian Fashion Week that you're talking about, which is mm-hmm. how did Vanessa get into Australian Fashion Week? Zac Efron's ex was seen at almost every show, and now there are rumors about how she got access. This article involves the Daily Mail Australia literally surmising different points as to how this woman, who they keep covering, but yet nobody quote unquote knows how she got into Fashion Week.
And they're like, maybe she was a seat filler.
It's like, but you guys talk about her every single day. How do you think she got
in? Also, she's like a beautiful young woman. I don't, like, if you took Zac Efron out of the equation and I looked at this woman, I would say, oh, that's an Instagram model. I would just assume she's an Instagram
model. I'm just saying this woman is making the calls. Like, she mm-hmm. knows how, if you don't realize after all of these headlines and all of these examples that this woman doesn't know how to make the call, she's making the mm-hmm. phone calls.
She's making the phone calls and it's working out for her. Like, this is working for her in some way, you know?
So
like,
funny.
She's getting some sort of, like, Instagram-y sponsorship or something is in the works. Because if she really didn't want this attention, I don't think she would be getting it.
She would not be getting headlines like drinking coffee. Like, this is not the case. She would not she's not being followed around. Like, Rita Ora didn't leave Australia and then the paparazzi were like, who's next? Like, she actively mm-hmm. has been calling to get some attention, and it's kind of funny to me. She's basically making her industry is being Zac Efron's ex-girlfriend. I love it.
I kind of think it's cool. I kind of think it's cool. And she, because their relationship wasn't even like interesting, like it wasn't fraught, it wasn't necessarily like super sweet, people weren't really bummed when they broke up. I guess the story is cool that she was like so normal, you know, she worked in a restaurant and then he met her, but like there's really no reason to continue following this person around.
Not anymore.
Let's do Rita.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one Who. Lindsay, Bobby, tell us now. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
She did charity. Well, charity adjacent stuff.
No,
she hosted. She's about to host.
She's hosting
something for St. Jude's.
LA art show for St. Jude's. She was the host of the opening night premiere party.
I'm so proud to be hosting the opening night of the LA art show in partnership with St. Jude's Children's Hospital. The work St. Jude's does is life-changing and its impact can be felt around the world. I'm honored to be part of this night, uniting my love of art with an incredibly worthy cause. Great.
I love
activist.
That. She was
philanthropist.
Also, she also went to the premiere or the opening party and she stood out from the crowd as she boldly paired a ruffled turquoise peplum top with magenta trousers. Just mm-hmm. great. I think that's she looks.
This is one of those outfits where I'm like, I don't even know how I feel about it now. I wonder how I'll feel about it in 10 years when you see old photos. You know, when you see like old paparazzi photos from even 10 years ago and you're like, wow, that's so 2011 or whatever.
I think this outfit is
cute. I don't know that this, but this, I feel like a lot of what Rita Ora wears sort of defies fashion eras. You know?
What do you mean? Like she's timeless? Because I would not call her that.
She doesn't necessarily, like she loves a trend, but she also loves not doing the trend thing. I think mostly she just likes sticking out. And if you like sticking out, you're sort of you're more timeless than someone.
Well,
who
you're also just like you're taking purposeful fashion risks, meaning you'll just like wear anything. But I do think that also means you fall into the trend trap because you're wearing like, if mesh is in, you're wearing like a full mesh thing. Da 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 da. This is cute because it's like a pair of like cute little trousers with like a ruffled top. Like if anything, she's like
she's cute.
Low key. She's like going specifically low key for the charity. You know,
she's in pants.
Yeah.
She's covering up her slim pins.
She is doing charity. Good for Rita. Back to...
And then most importantly...
Back to normal. Yes, what? Oh.
She went to the event of the season. Kate Beckinsale's 48th birthday
party. Which season? Fall? Winter? Spring? Summer? Which season?
Late July.
She went to
the event of
Kate
late July.
Beckinsale's 48th birthday party. I gotta say, it's like the same people are at every fucking party that I see photos of.
I like that Damson Idris showed up to this one. I haven't heard from him since like a few months. Like it's been a while since we've seen Damson Idris.
Right?
Yeah.
We got Lily Sheen, she's still there with Tyka. Rita Ora, David Schechter, no idea who that is. Jai Courtney, because they were in a movie together, and Damson Idris. It's like the same people though. Like, it's, I don't know. Anyways.
It's definitely a crew. It's definitely a crew.
I mean, someone's got to get
photographed. And Kate loves, Kate is truly like the cliche of like, it's giving me life. Like, this sort of stuff is what keeps Kate Beckinsale, like, thriving.
She,
you know, being
she literally
around the
is
coolest
saying,
people imaginable.
You keep me young to every person at this party. Oh, you keep me young. You keep me young.
She is... You know, this is what gives her energy.
Like, she's not even that old, and yet she's like, you keep me young. You know, like, she's not even.
Paris Jackson was there. Anya Taylor-Joy was there.
Oh, my God.
You know who else was there? At Michael was there, of course. I feel like
Rita brings a crew.
Rita was told she could bring whoever she wants because these people are Rita's friends.
I'm telling you,
Kate's friends. I'm sorry.
Rita got like a plus whatever and abused it. And I'm sure Kate didn't mind because I'm sure a lot of people were like, I'm not getting Delta for this.
I don't think that that's even abuse. I think you give Rita the plus whoever because you know she's going to bring a good time. Molly Shannon showed up. Not via Rita,
Wait,
probably.
Molly Shannon?
Because they were in Serendipity. Ooh. There. But the last photo on the Daily Mail...
Molly Shannon?
Roundup is Molly Shannon side-hugging Kate Beckinsale, looking wonderful.
Oh, I love that. But Rita like didn't bring Molly Shannon.
No.
Okay.
They didn't even... I don't even think they spoke at the party.
Oh, you don't think that Molly Shannon and Rita spoke? The true irony is the Molly Shannon character, I'm 50, you know? I'm 50. 50 years old. That's like Kate Beckinsale. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like...
Exactly.
That's actually the personality trait that I'm giving to... I can kick!
Stretch!
My name is Sally O'Malley. I'm proud to say that I'm 50 years old. I'm not one of those gals who's afraid to tell her real age. And I like to kick, stretch, and kick. I'm 50 years old.
All of the Gen Z people are like, what?
I'll put a clip.
What?
You should look it up. It's funny. It's so funny.
So there's this SNL sketch where Molly Shannon
is 50.
Molly Shannon's whole thing was being a cool, active 50-year-old woman.
That's probably what Kate Beckinsale did at her birthday. Kick and stretch. Anyways, love her, I guess.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Who Weekly. Call in at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns for our Friday call-in show. Support us on patreon.com/WhoWeekly for bonus episodes, bonus content, all sorts of fun stuff, early access to our tour tickets. What else? Thank you to Katie and Eric of The Who's for providing the Rita theme song. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Love to read those so much. And have a great week. Bye.
Bye.
You will, Draylor.
Yo, 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 they want to know.